We hear again from the gospel reading of Mark 10. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." In the name of Jesus. How do we treat the Word of God? God the Son is the Word. We know that. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Then God the Son came into the flesh. Jesus is the name now of the Word of God. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Then the Word of God, Jesus, spoke words to the apostles. The apostles wrote them down to give the words to the church. The church calls these words Holy Scripture, or the Bible. The words given by God the Son to the prophets and then to the apostles to be written down in Scripture are to be proclaimed to the people Jesus loves, preached to sinners. So now we have the Bible, we hear it preached, we read it in our families, we study it at home. In this generation of ours, we even scroll through it on our phone. So how do we treat the Word of God? We study it, we learn it, we underline it sometimes, we memorize it. We try to understand enough of it to the extent then that we feel we have control of it. I once knew a little boy who read a book about Komodo dragons. That meant he could then tell you everything about Komodo dragons, which islands they lived on and which ocean, how big they would grow, how fast they could run when they're chasing you down, and how they could kill you not because of the poison, but because their mouths were septic. Other gross things about Komodos. So you end up dying then, I guess, from infection. Everything you could want to know about Komodo dragons, because he studied the book. He had control of the words about Komodo dragons. We've all known of that, of a little boy who could tell you everything you want to know about, maybe fire trucks. A young girl who could tell you everything about Nancy Drew because they read the books. Read the book. Understand the words. Get control of the subject. That's the way we work. So even in the college class, the student reads the assigned Shakespeare to get control of the information before the big final. So how do we treat the Word of God? Maybe even with a little more care and respect than all of that, since it is, after all, not the word of the Komodo dragons or Nancy Drew, but the words of God. It's kind of like maybe then a porcelain teacup we keep on the mantle. It's been passed down from generations. It's precious. We don't put it in the dishwasher. We don't drink coffee out of it. It's valuable. It's an heirloom. So we revere it. We protect it. The Word of God, we don't treat it like some crumpled Sports Illustrated copy or the Daily Cookbook with stains on it, but we carefully hold it, protect it, revere it, a precious porcelain teacup, but it's the Word of God. And we read it, learn it, get control of it so we know how to use it. A fragile porcelain teacup to be held respectfully in hands and inspected with care. An interesting metaphor for the Word of God, except the Word does not speak of itself that way. It is no fragile artifact to be kept under control. Scripture, rather than a delicate teacup, uses the imagery for itself of a sword. Swords need no protection. They do the damage. Swords aren't fragile. They cut. They slash. They bring havoc. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So maybe we can rethink how it is that we think we treat the Word of God. If we start out thinking it's a subject matter we need to get control of, like a student getting control of the algebra or the Shakespeare before the big test, we now realize we don't control Scripture. Rather, it's a sword cutting into us to the division of soul and spirit. If we started out thinking we read the Bible, we now realize the Bible is reading us. For the Bible is not man-made words transferring information from author to reader like a human book, but it is the words given by Jesus, the Word made flesh, so that when we encounter these words, the words are actually encountering us. For it is Jesus, through his word, encountering us, impacting us, piercing us, discerning thoughts and intentions of our hearts. The sword is two-edged. Scripture, as it encounters us, is two-edged. The law, piercing to the division of our soul and spirit, leaving no sin unexposed, putting us to death in contrition and repentance. Then the gospel, at our very depth, at the division of soul and spirit, removing the sin, cutting it out, forgiving the guilt, replacing the shame with honor, daily raising to life the new man of faith. How hard is the two-edged sword, or the edge of sword of the law? How deep the cut? Mark 10:24. Jesus said to them, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" That is a deep cut. The disciples were right to ask, "Who then can be saved?" They rightly heard the law from Jesus, rightly felt the sword piercing to division of soul and spirit, discerning their thoughts and the intentions of their hearts, leaving no one able to be saved under the law. Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." All things impossible to man, but possible to God. This is the gospel. Possible to God is what is impossible to the sinner. What is impossible to the sinner is for the sinner to save himself, for the sinner to call Jesus into his heart, for the sinner to make a decision for righteousness, for the sinner to be anything that is other than sinner. Impossible to the sinner, but this is possible with God. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word dwelt among us and went to the cross. The Word poured out the blood to atone for our sin. The Word made flesh, Jesus, spoke the words of the cross to his apostles for them to write down so that we live from the words of Holy Scripture. How do we treat the Word of God? No. Rather, how does the Word of God treat us? It pierces us to the quick, to the division of soul and body. It discerns our thoughts and intentions. It finds sin, exposes the guilt, leaves us in shame. But the Word of God is Jesus. He took those thoughts and intentions of our sinful hearts upon himself. He bore the sin and guilt in his own body. He was covered in our shame. Then he, the Word made flesh, gave us the words to do what is impossible for us to do. He gave us the words forgiving our sins, taking away our guilt, covering our shame with his honor. He gave us the words of Holy Scripture so that in the church, these words are preached to the people the Lord gathers to his name. These words are read out as an executor reading out a man's last will and testament, so that at the words of Jesus read out before his people, they are given the wealth he bequeaths to them. That is, his body, his blood, for the forgiveness of their sins. These words are read then in our families at the time of word and prayer, so that as we are reading the Bible, we find the Bible is reading us. For the Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, daily putting us to death in our old man of sin, and daily raising us up to live in our new man, our life of faith. For the words that we read are the words of Jesus, and he is the living and active Word of God. And with Jesus, what is impossible to us is possible with him. And that is the justification of the sinner, the justification of us. In the name of Jesus, amen.